When they finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to them, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to them, "Feed my lambs." He said to them a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Jesus, we just thank you for your words to Peter in that moment that we can listen to and we can find life out of. So, Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would find good soil in our hearts this morning as we listen to, we meditate on your word. Would it go deep within us and bring transformation in your precious name? Amen. If you just want to take a seat. I don't know if you've heard about this art form called kintsugi. Apologies if I'm not pronouncing it wrong. But basically, it's a Japanese art form where they take bits of broken pottery and they put them together, and often they kind of use like gold sort of in between to sort of, it's a really beautiful thing. But I think to grasp how kind of awesome this is, I'm just going to play a little video. And then we're going to actually watch the sort of latter half of this video, the process, at the end when we take communion. But I'll just get Johnny to play that now. What that really shows is, I think, a beautiful metaphor of restoration. And that is what is happening in this scene with Peter and Jesus, is this beautiful moment of Jesus restoring him. And it's what he's doing in us all the time. But before we unpack that a little bit, let me sort of set the scene. Last week we had seen the disciples sort of hold up in a room, lock the doors, and Jesus had appeared in the room, and then he told them, "My peace be with you," and then he breathed on them the Holy Spirit, they're full of life. But then there's sort of something. We don't read in the text what sort of happens next, but there must be some sort of gap between when Jesus came back and Peter and the disciples kind of head back to Galilee from Jerusalem. They go back to their hometown, and they end up going back to fishing. They go back to his old occupation and some of the disciples' occupation. And isn't that true? Sometimes when stuff happens in life, we just go back to what's familiar, right? You know, we don't know what to do, so I'll just go back to what I know. I'll just go back to what's familiar. I don't know where Jesus is at the moment. I don't know what to do, but I'll just go back to what I know. And for Peter and some of the disciples, they were actually fishing out on the boat, and they weren't having much luck, and then Jesus appears on the beach. And they don't know it's Jesus at first, kind of, and then Jesus tells them, "Hey, put the net back out one more time." "All right, we'll put the net out." And then they haul in all these fish, like they've got this amazing amount of fish kind of coming. And then Peter kind of recognizes that Jesus, and it's a beautiful scene because he recognizes Jesus, he dives into the water, swims up to where Jesus is on the beach, and you know, they have the start of this sort of encounter. And what is really cool is Jesus has got this little charcoal fire going. He's got this little Barbie on the beach going. He's, you know, getting ready with a bit of fish and, you know, bits and pieces. I just think that's so cool. Like, how earthy is God? Like, these guys are having a barbecue breakfast on the beach. Like, that's how cool God is, isn't he? And that's how he connects with us in those very earthy sort of ways. And then what happens is we have this encounter that we read in the passage above. Jesus goes with Peter for a walk, and they have a little corridor on the beach. And it says that the disciple whom Jesus loved, a.k.a. John, is following in the background with his tablet or notepad, recording this incident. And the other disciples are kind of not too far away, in earshot. And it's a very moving scene that we've just read, because it illustrates that Jesus always meets us where we are at, right? Dallas Willard said, God is yet to bless anyone other than where they are. Isn't that true? God always meets us where we're at. And as well as meeting us where we're at, Jesus also seems to always go to the heart of the matter, doesn't he? He always goes to what's really going on under the surface of our lives, to where the pain is, where the ache is. He goes there. But friends, we are in good hands. One of Jesus' names is the great physician. He's the good doctor of our souls. As he's working on the pain that's in our lives, we are in good hands. Isn't that true? He's that good. He's that kind to us. And Jesus says to Peter three times, Simon, son of John, Nick, son of Phil, whatever your father's name, chuck that in, do you love me? You know, when you're a parent and you have a baby for the first time, you just give of yourself to this helpless creature, this helpless baby that cannot do anything for itself, right? You have to feed it. You have to change its nappies. You have to pick it up and move it. It can't even sort of crawl at first. Like, you have to do absolutely everything for it, and you give of your time and of your sleep, amen, and of your money. Like, you just pour everything that's within you into this child because you love that child. And basically, in those first few years, it is incapable of expressing back to you any kind of sense of gratitude. But there comes a time, maybe when the child is like three or four, and over and over again, you've said to this child, I love you, I love you, I love you. And then these magical words come back to you. I love you. And if it's even better if it says, I love you, Daddy. Especially if it's before your wife. Because you're like, yes, I'm the favorite. You see, friends, God has done everything for us. He's created this world we live in, the very air that we breathe. He's even given his beloved son to come and live with us and die for us. John 3:16, the most famous Bible verse we all know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And God asks the same question to us this morning, to us Korimako, do you love me? Not do you know lots about me? Not do you do lots of things in my name, but do you love me? Whānau, the very core of our faith is a relationship with God. That's what it's all about. It's about union and communion with him forever. And God is always after our hearts. That is what is going on here with Peter and Jesus. The very smell of that fireplace must have brought Peter right back to that moment of betrayal of Jesus around another fireplace. And I think it's no coincidence that Jesus started that barbie on the beach. Because in a courtyard by a fire, Peter had denied Jesus, and by a fire on a beach, Jesus was going to restore him. If you're familiar with the backstory, Jesus had told Peter just before he was to be betrayed and handed over to the authorities that Peter would deny him three times before the rooster crowed. Peter had insisted to Jesus, I will never do that, Lord. Even if all these other dudes fail, I won't fail you, Jesus. I will not fail you. But he did. He failed spectacularly in Jesus' greatest moment of need. He denied Jesus three times. We read in Luke 22, verse 60 to 62. But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you're talking about." This being the third denial around that fireplace to a person. And immediately, while he was speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. I don't know if you can see in this picture, but there's Jesus looking at Peter and then Peter looking away in shame. Imagine what that must have felt like for Peter. I don't know about you, but do you ever have that moment in life where you say something and you're just like, oh, how do I get those words back in my mouth? Can I have a reverse button? And I just think for him, he said it, and it was like that moment of seeing Jesus and just knowing, oh my goodness, I've done this. How do I do this? And then just the shame of knowing that he had betrayed Jesus in that moment. And it says, and Peter remembered the saying of the Lord and how he had said to him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And it says in verse 62, and he went out and wept bitterly. He is completely devastated in this moment. He is a broken man. He has hit rock bottom. He's full of shame at what he has done. This is Peter's lowest moment in his life. And I imagine as he's with Jesus on the beach, the memory of that fireplace and that night must have still been very vivid in his mind. He must have still felt the shame and the regret at what he'd done to his beloved master. And then we have this interesting interplay in the passage between Jesus and Peter. Each time Jesus says his old original name, maybe referring to his old life, as he had also returned to his old job, and then he asks him that question, like I said before, do you love me? And Peter responds, you know, Lord, that I love you. The third one is actually the most heartbreaking, as you can hear the desperation in Peter's voice. Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. These past 2 weeks, I've been talking about this theme of recreation, which is what Jesus is doing in the resurrection. It's a great overarching theme of our Bibles. And I use this slide from Pete Hughes from KXC Church, that we have these three stages: creation. God created a good earth. We were in communion and union with him. But because of the fall, because of sin, we went into the stage of decreation. That's where everything kind of devolved and went in on itself. That's why we have pain, sickness, suffering, evil. That is what we all experience in our world today. But because of the resurrection, we have recreation. What Jesus was doing through his life, death, and resurrection, what he's still doing now, it was his kingdom breaking through. It was this recreation coming into the world, all of creation, including us. And that is the good news, whānau, that Jesus is making all things new, including you. He is making Peter new in this moment. He is recreating him, restoring him. What I feel like Jesus is doing in this moment is a bit like what's happening in this moment I'm going to show on this video between Robert Downey Jr. and Mel Gibson. You just want to click on that, Johnny? Yeah, I think this video shows that when we fall from grace, we experience a huge amount of shame, especially amongst our peers. And in this moment, Mel Gibson is publicly forgiving and honoring his friend in front of his peers. It's a beautiful thing. And I just wonder how many of us get stuck in a moment from our past which we can't move on from. And we need Jesus to come and heal us from our shame and regret. That's a beautiful scene with Robert Downey Jr. and Mel Gibson. But how much more is Peter receiving in this moment from Jesus? Jesus is restoring him three times. He's got John trailing in the background, writing on his tablet, and he's got the disciples nearby. Jesus is honoring him in this moment in front of his peers. You see, whānau, it's the merciful love of Jesus which recreates Peter and makes him new in this encounter. Peter couldn't do anything about his sins other than confess them, but Jesus could, and he did on the cross. His final words from the cross were, "It is finished." is finished. And that included Peter's betrayal and his shame. Peter denied Jesus 3 times, so in his great love, Jesus offered Peter an opportunity to tell Jesus that he loved him 3 times. And with that, Peter was forgiven and made new. From that point on, whenever Peter thought back about the time he denied Jesus, he did not think about that time that he stuffed up big time. But now he could reflect, oh, that was the time I stuffed up big time, but then how I was restored big time by Jesus. Part of Peter's recreation process, Jesus is recommissioning him. Remember back in Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus said this to Peter, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock, it's actually a little wordplay by Jesus because rock and Peter sound really similar. So it's, you are Peter, and on this Peter almost, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I think this is really cool about Jesus that, you know, even when we stuff up big time, like he doesn't disqualify us, that we can come back to his grace and his mercy and his love. Every Christian that's ever lived is flawed and broken, and God has used every single one of them, you know, across human history for his plans and his purposes. And look at each time Jesus responds to Peter's reply, he just commissions him over and over again. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. What Jesus is doing here is showing his love for Peter by reminding of him of his real calling and his real job, not a fisherman, but a fisher of men, a shepherd. It's almost like Jesus is saying to him, Pete, you probably thought you'd blown it big time and I'd be super angry with you and you'd have to do some probationary period before you could even help out the disciples, you know. I was going to take Bartholomew over you sort of thing. Like, but no, I'm commissioning you as a shepherd to the church. The great shepherd Jesus is giving him the incredible honor to shepherd his church, his people. And like I said before, Jesus recommissions Peter in stages, just like he does for us. Feed my lambs. And when I read that, I just think it's that sense of just start where you're at. It's all of us. Just in the little things and responsibilities that you have to show love, we actually demonstrate our love through Jesus, through our love to others. They're intertwined. What's in your hands, whānau? What are your responsibilities? It could be your spouse. It could be children. It could be teenagers. Could be your job. If you're a teenager, it could be your schoolmates, neighbors, people who need a hand. Do you remember that saying they used to have, that WWJD? And they used to have these little bracelets. It was really big in the 90s and 2000s. I'm showing my age here. And it's kind of cool kind of concept, like what would Jesus do? That's what it stood for, this acronym. But I think it's a bit incomplete. I'll have a go at this. It should be WWJDIHWY. What would Jesus do if he was you? I think that's the more accurate one that you should be reminding yourself of when you're having a conversation with someone or you're acting or doing something. Because it's thinking about what would Jesus do if he was you with your age, your gender, your ethnicity, your personality, your time and place that you're living in. Like, how would Jesus act if he was you? Not how you think, like some superstar would act. How would Jesus act if he was you in that conversation or what you're doing? And that would be just feeding the lambs. Second slide, tend to my sheep. We are all called by God. Obviously, pastors have a specific role, but we're all on a mission, guys. Maybe that's giving of yourself in church life through your time, your resources, your finances. That could be like look like praying for someone, making someone a meal, helping greet people as they come through the door, checking in on people, giving them a phone call or a text message, inviting them over for a meal, or catching up for a coffee. It's tending to each other's lives. That's our. We all have this responsibility, whānau, to tend to each other's lives and to care for one another. And then the next slide, it goes up a click. Feed my sheep. maybe God's calling you, or all of us, to take some steps of faith for the kingdom. And that's going to look different for all of us depending on your age and stage. I wonder how often we're missing the calling of God in our lives to take steps of faith for the path of least resistance. Because love is not only about responsibility, it's also about sacrifice. Jesus reminds Peter that he's going to pay the ultimate cost for following him, verses 18 to 19. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted, but when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Church tradition holds that Peter was crucified for his faith, but that he actually asked to be crucified upside down. Why? Because he felt unworthy to die in the same manner as Jesus. What a journey. What a journey this guy went on. From all the ups and downs of a headstrong disciple to his lowest moment when he betrayed Jesus, to being this moment where he's restored by Jesus in this moment, to giving his life away in such a humble way that he didn't even want to be crucified in the same way as Jesus. As I finish this morning, like Peter, we can all be full of shame and regret about our lives, things we have done and said, or maybe the things which people have done and said about us. We carry those things in our bodies. And an interesting thing about that kintsugi pottery, which I showed at the start, is it has this philosophy where it treats breakage and repair as part of the history of an object rather than something to disguise. In the same way, Peter would never have forgotten all his life that he publicly denied Jesus 3 times. And I'm sure everyone else never let him forget it either. But because of Jesus' restorative work, he was able to say, yes, I deny Jesus. But he forgave and restored me, and he can do that for you too. As I close, whānau, here's the wonderful, glorious good news of the gospel, that our flaws, our failures, our brokenness do not disqualify us from the love of God. Tim Keller said it like this. The gospel is this. We are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Yet at the same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. We are more loved and accepted in Jesus than we ever dared hope. Isn't that good news? Isn't that wonderful? The risen Jesus is making all things new, including you this morning, right here, right now. And he's taking the broken parts of your life and gently restoring you just like a careful artist and making you into something beautiful so that you can help others encounter his transformative love. We're going to respond to his great love by taking communion together as the church whānau. Because of what Jesus has done through his life, death, and resurrection, we can freely come to this table and have communion with him and with each other.